great. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's nice to be back to see each and every one of you. This is our first time back since the campaign. And Jana and I left. Kim, I want to thank you so much. But the pronunciation, we say Wisconsin through the nose. Wisconsin. It's been a year. Lots happened. You know, Jana and I got to come see a lot of old friends, see people we made, see some good memories. Maybe we should come back and do this more often. People are really friendly here, I tell you. I got this invite for this event in the mail, and I thought the mustache thing was pretty interesting. At first, I thought it was an invite from Dr. Phil. but seeing that this is Terry's birthday, I wanted to bring something from Wisconsin that I thought was appropriate. See, a little slice of Wisconsin with some Branstead on top. All right. Now, the Packers are pretty popular here in Iowa, correct? Right? More so than the Vikings, I would like to think. Is that right? Yeah, okay, maybe not. All right. I also want to sit here as I look out and I see three people. I want to talk about Terry Branstead a little bit more. But I see a guy who's been a workhorse where I work in Congress. And I see Tom Latham, who has been working hard. He's one of those guys who is in there fighting every day for the conservative common principles that we share between us, Wisconsin, and Iowa. And I want to thank Tom Latham for what he does in Congress. Send him back. This man works hard. He's one of the hardest working guys we have. I also want to talk about our good friend Chuck Grassley. Chuck and I have been seeing a lot of each other lately because we're on the budget conference together, and we keep making the same argument. And because we make a lot of these arguments, we're not where we need to be right now. You see, the other side has a different view of things. Chuck and I think that the money that comes to the government is not the government's money. It's your money, the taxpayers who said it in the first place. And I want to thank Chuck for all he's done. This is a man who has so much respect among conservatives in Congress, among Republicans. Chuck Grassley, thank you for all of your service. We are really indebted to your gratitude. You know, some people say that presidential campaigns are rough on families, that they're really tough, they're ringers. That's really not the experience that Jana and our three kids had. We actually had a very delightful experience. Some of the great memories we have were traveling with Kim Reynolds throughout northern and southern, eastern and western Iowa. Some of the memories were going over to Loras College up in Dubuque, where my grandfather went, going down to Clinton, Iowa, where Jana's mom, Prudence, is from. We even went into the house that Jana learned to walk on in Clinton, and they had in the kitchen, in pencil, the little height notations where Jana and her three sisters, as they grew up, the homeowners kept that there. Is that not good Iowa cultural values or what? We're excited about this coming March, where one of Jana's distant relatives, Norman Borlaug, is going to have a statue named in his honor, put it in the Capitol this year. So this is a state that not only shares the same kind of values, but this is a state that we have had great memories with. And I want to thank each and every one of you. I want to thank Kim, I want to thank Tom, Chuck, but I want to thank all those Iowans who did so much for us in this last campaign. I want to thank those of you who worked so hard. We didn't quite deliver. But on behalf of Mitt and myself, thank you very much for everything you did for us. Thank you very much for fighting for your country. We really want to just say thank you for that. Appreciate it. Now, we're not here simply to celebrate your governor's birthday. We're here to celebrate your state's success. I mean, look what success stories we have right here. Terry Branstead and Kim Reynolds came into office a little over 2 years ago. They came in with a split legislature, a huge deficit, high unemployment. Sound kind of familiar? Look what they faced. They faced all these problems, a divided legislature, and look what they have already done. Iowa's running a surplus. Your unemployment rate is down. They passed the biggest tax cut in history. These are leaders. This is a man who did not have to do this. He served his state honorably. He served it well. Then he went and served in another venue in higher education. He saw liberals come in and do things to his state that he didn't like. So what did he do? He stood back up and went back at it to fix his state, and he has done that. And that is an example that is wonderful that people in Washington could learn from. Thank you, Terry Branstad, for doing this, for this leadership. Thank you for putting the uniform on again and getting back in the game and scoring some touchdowns. By the way, did you see the Wisconsin-Indiana game today? He put principle ahead of pride. He's putting prudence ahead of pride. He's putting our principles in practice. You know what? People in Washington could use a few pointers. They could learn a lot. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Obamacare's had a few hiccups lately. Don't you remember, though, we were told that we had to pass this bill in order to find out what was in it? Well, here we are. Seem to recall, Tom maybe can jar my memory here, but if I recall, one of the guys who was really fighting hard for this law, voted for it, was pretty passionate, was a guy named Bruce Braley. You guys know who that is? Look, this law is doing real harm to real people. This law is taking people and disrupting their lives. Millions of people are getting the cancellation notices. Families are seeing their premiums go up. The crowd that brought us this website, where they had 3 years to prepare, $500 million to spend, is the same crowd that is now poised to take over 16% of our economy, the healthcare sector. President Obama, though, says he didn't know any of this stuff was going to happen. He said that he had no idea that these problems were in the offing. We had Kathleen Sebelius come to the committee and say everything was ready to go. Here's the issue. If you outlaw the kind of insurance that people actually have, they won't be able to keep those plans. They passed a law 3 years ago to outlaw the kinds of insurance that people have, and they're surprised that people don't have them? Look, we talked about this in the 2010 elections. We talked about this in the 2012 elections. We knew all of this was happening at the time. We heard all of the soaring rhetoric and all of these promises. And now we see what's happening. The way I see it, there are only two explanations. Either they were being dishonest, or they are just incompetent. Frankly, I don't know which one is the worst. I think they're learning a pretty valuable lesson here. I think the valuable lesson that we're learning here, unfortunately, with all the human collateral damage, with this Obamacare spectacle, is that you don't shut out the opposition, you don't cram a bad bill into law, you don't say one thing when you know it's another, and then when it all blows up in your face, I'm sorry, is just not going to cut it. That's the lesson I think they're learning. And so the next time you have a famous politician coming through Iowa, breezing through the towns, talking about big government, let's be a little more skeptical. You know, when you take a look at the arguments that were made to sell this law. They were attractive arguments. When I look back at this campaign, and believe me, after this election, it was a tough loss. It was tough for all of us. We were in a funk for a good 6 months because we knew the stakes. We knew what we were going to do. We know what we believe, and we know what needs to happen to get things done. And it didn't go our way. That's obviously very frustrating. As I look back at the campaign, I think one of the problems that Mitt and I had was we were arguing against big government in theory. You see, President Obama passed his program in the first 2 years of his presidency when Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid were in charge of the place. And those programs didn't take effect until this year, until 2013, until after the 2012 election. Things like Dodd-Frank and, of course, Obamacare. And so we had to campaign against big government in theory, the rhetoric, the promises, the empty promises. If you like what you want, you can keep it. Here's the difference now. We've got big government in practice. And what we are realizing is that the results are nothing close to the rhetoric that was used to sell them. What we're realizing is that this is not all that what it was cracked up to be. You know, I wonder if people who know now what they know would rehire these people again. What do you think? When you take a look at these issues honestly, that's where I see optimism. That's where I think we have a chance. This is where I think we have a real opportunity. You see, we are no longer looking at big government in theory anymore. We are seeing big government in practice. We are seeing the hollowness of these promises. And we are seeing these issues as they come forward, and we don't like it. I'm not talking about we Republicans, I'm talking about Americans, everybody. And so what we have to do is we have to show the country that we are not just the opposition party, but we're the proposition party. We have to show truth to power. We have to expose these ideas for how hollow and how hollow these promises have been, but then we also have to show who we are, what we believe in. And I'll tell you what, we still believe in the American idea in this country. We still believe, as our founders did, that our rights come before government. The Declaration says it best. They come from nature and nature's God. We still believe that if you work hard and you play by the rules in this country, you can get ahead. That's the American idea. We still believe in that American dream, but the problem is millions of people don't see it. They don't know that they have a crack at it. They don't think their kids are going to be as well off as they are. And so I think we understand something that the left doesn't understand, that the people who are really focused on selling big government understand. And what we understand is that the American people don't just want comfort. They want dignity. They want the dignity of being a self-governing people. Obamacare is just the opposite. I remember in all these debates, Chuck Grassley can say the same thing. We were in all these meetings and all these debates. They kept saying healthcare is a right. It's a new government-granted right. Here's the problem. If government now is the grantor of our rights, then government gets to decide how we exercise that right, where we get that right, who, from where, under what circumstances we get that right. And that's what we're learning under this healthcare law. And we're seeing choices go down. We're seeing prices go up. And we haven't even begun to see all the things that are going to happen to the hospitals and the providers. So the next time, I think people are going to be a little more skeptical, because now we're seeing big government in practice. And so while they've made it a little easier to expose these ideas for what they are, we've got to do even more to make sure we say who we are and what we believe in. You know, unlike the left, what we need to do is have a mandate that is an honest mandate. We need a mandate and honest competition so that we can have an honest victory, so that we can resuscitate this American idea and save this country. When we take a look at this, we are confident in our ideas. We know what fiscal responsibility actually looks like. All you have to do is look at Terry Branstad. Don't spend money you don't have, and if you are, get it under control. We know what patient-centered healthcare looks like. Don't wait for the government to tell you what to do. Don't have the government tell you who your insurer is or what doctor you have to go to. That should be you making that decision. We want all those healthcare providers, whether it's doctors or hospitals or insurance companies, competing against each other for our business, not for government's favoritism. We know what real tax reform looks like. Stop picking winners and losers in Washington. Lower our tax rates for families and businesses so we can keep more of what we earn. You know, the way it works these days, the way it works these days is you have really high tax rates. 9 out of 10 businesses in Iowa and 9 out of 10 businesses in Wisconsin pay their taxes as individuals, as people. Like all those businesses with 50 to 75 people at our industrial parks. Top tax rate now because of Obamacare and the other Obama taxes, 44.6%. You know what it is in Canada on businesses? It's 15%. 25% in China, going to 20 in England. And so what we have is this tax code where our tax rates are really high. And then if you send your money to Washington, but do some things we in Washington approve of, then we'll let you keep some of it back. I got a better idea. Keep it in the first place. You decide what you do with it because it is your money. That's what real tax reform looks like. Those are the kinds of things that we have to propose and show. We also know what a real war on poverty looks like, because it doesn't look like the one that's been waged for the last 49 years. Next year is the 50th anniversary of the war on poverty, $15 trillion spent at the federal level, and the highest poverty rates in a generation with 46 million people in poverty. Washington has gummed up the works. It's made it harder for people to get ahead. And the idea of upward mobility, of equality of opportunity, is slipping farther and farther away from people who haven't seen it for generations. We can do better than that. We can restore America as the party of equal opportunity to show how these ideas prevail. We've had big government in theory. A lot of people voted for that. We have it in practice. It doesn't work. One of my favorite economists is a guy named Friedrich Hayek. It's a fatal conceit, to borrow his words. We've got these incredible examples. Look at what Terry Branstad has done here. If we follow these examples, if we highlight our ideas, we're going to do this. This is why I'm optimistic. This is why ultimately I really feel like we are going to turn things around in this state and this country, because we now know what it's going to take. It's going to take people of courage, people of conviction, people like Terry Branstad. It's going to take you to keep sending people like Tom Lathan and Chuck Grassley. And by the way, give Chuck somebody else. Then the guy who voted for Obamacare. I have every confidence we're going to do this. This is a packed room of people who care so much about their country, who are here to thank their governor for doing what he's done for you. Make sure you can help us do it for the rest of the country. And you know what? I'm not going to sing a song like that wonderful young man who sang in the beginning of the program here, but they told me I had to start by singing Happy Birthday. So will you please all join me in doing this to our governor, Terry Branstad? One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Let's hear it for our governor.